The Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. As we read in the psalm, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We have many things to rejoice about this day, what the Lord has done for us. This is Palm Sunday, the first day of the Holy Week. And we have the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. The gospel text for today is in the Gospel of John, the 12th chapter, the 20th verse through the 43rd. So that's the Gospel of John, 12th chapter, 20th verse through the 43rd. We do pray again that the Lord would speak to each one of our hearts through his word today, that he would give us ears to hear and hearts to receive that word, that we would hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. Amen. We read in Jesus' name, beginning with the 20th verse. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. And the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And the people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered, and others an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, We have heard of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that saying from Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and should be healed. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Amen. Before our text, we have the actual triumphal entry of Jesus into the Jerusalem. And we see how it was that there was many that people of the Jews that came unto Jesus, not for Jesus' sake, it says in the 9th verse, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. And then it says the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because by the reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. And then on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees, and went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered they that these things were written of him, and that he had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for they that heard that he had done these miracles. The Pharisees therefore said amongst themselves, Perceive ye now, ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. Oh, that it would be that the whole world would go after him, that they would go after Jesus. He done all these miracles. As it says at the end of this gospel, that these things were written, and these miracles and signs that he done, that we might believe on him, and by believing that we would have everlasting life. So that was the purpose of these miracles that he had done, even raising Lazarus from the dead. But we can see here that these people, they set all these palm branches and someplace their clothes before him as he rode into the Jerusalem. They were expecting to have a natural king that would set up this kingdom of King David again, that they would be able to be out from under the rule of the Romans. That's what they were looking for in Jesus. Even his disciples were looking for an earthly kingdom. And they looked for something earthly. And how is it with us? Do we look to Jesus for the things of this life, of this world, that we might have comfort, that we might have all kinds of things. Is this the Jesus that we look for? That Jesus came that he would save us from our sins. We can look at this triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem just as something that happened in history. Or we can look at it, what Jesus has done for you and I. He done it for you and I. That was promised from the very beginning, from the fall in the garden, that there would be that seed that would come, that would bruise us, that would crush the serpent's head, Satan, and Satan would bruise his heel by Jesus going to the cross. But he has overcome Satan for us. Know what a great thing is to know that Jesus, he come not into Jerusalem to receive a golden crown or jewels and sit on a throne in an earthly kingdom, but he come to Jerusalem to wear a crown of thorns for you and I. He come into Jerusalem triumphantly, but how did he leave Jerusalem? He left Jerusalem with a crown of thorns, carrying a cross, and he did it for you. He did it for me. He was born into this world for you and for me. He lived that perfect life that we are unable to do for you and for me. All the things that he did, the temptations of Satan, he did it for us. The baptism of John, he did it for you and I. Do we realize what Jesus has done for us? He lived that perfect life for you and I that we could not live. And his righteousness has been imputed unto us. And I hope that we can all realize that all that Jesus done, even on this Palm Sunday, coming into the city, he had an appointment there in the city. He had an appointment on that cross of Calvary for you and I. So that even this morning, that we can believe that our sins are forgiven. Because what Jesus done, as we remember this week, and oh, that we could believe that this morning, that all your sins are forgiven. Past, present, future. They're all forgiven because of the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to cleanse us from our sin. And in and through his name, you can believe your sins forgiven. And that you can have that hope of eternal life. You can have that peace in your heart, knowing that your sins are forgiven and that you have a home in heaven. That's what this Easter season is all about. And as we just finished Lent, from Ash Wednesday till now, was a time that we heard of repentance. That we would look at ourselves and that we would repent of those things that we have done that are wrong. Because we have failed much. We have sinned much every day. We don't even know the sins that we have committed, a lot of them. But we do not despair. We look up to Jesus. And there were certain Greeks among them that came to worship at the feast. Here we have Greeks that come to this Jewish festival of the Passover. Gentiles. And God was saving the Gentiles also. They wanted to see Jesus. We see that the same came therefore to Philip, which is of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And oh, for each one of us that we would have that same desire. Oh, that we could see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answers them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Here's the first time that Jesus said, "The hour has come." In the past, he said, "The hour has not come yet." But here, on Palm Sunday, the hour had come for Jesus that he would be glorified. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Here we see that Jesus was saying that he must die. That seed that was promised from the fall in the garden, that seed must die. Jesus must die, that much fruit would be brought forth. It says, "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." Here it shows us that if you love this life and desire the things only of this life, you're going to lose. And whosoever hateth his life here on this earth will gain it, shall keep it unto life eternal. Well, we do have times when we enjoy our life here, but it's where our priorities are. Where are our priorities? Do we love this life so much that we don't have time for Jesus? It says, "Where your heart is, where your treasures are, there shall your heart also be." So where are our treasures? Are they earthly treasures? Or is our treasure in heaven? "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Here we see that it says, where I am, there shall also my servant be. He promises that as he is in heaven, we shall also be there. As he promises unto Peter, after he told Peter that he would deny him before the cock crowed, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. And this is always a comfort to me what he says next. But he says, let not your heart be troubled. This is what he says to Peter after he tells Peter he's going to deny him three times. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Here's the promise. He had to go away, that he would prepare a place for you and I in heaven above, that we might be where he is. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Here, as a human, he was totally man, totally God. But in his human portion, he was troubled. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. This was a thought that he had. But then he says, but for this cause came I unto this hour. He came to do the will of the Father. He came to die on that cross for you and I, that we might have eternal life. That he took the wrath of God that we deserved on himself. He died on that cross where we should have died. While he was on that cross, the Father turned his face from him for a while, and he realized what it was like without God. And that's what it'll be like for those that do not believe. That they will be forever separated from their Maker. Oh, that all would come to the knowledge of salvation. Father, glorify thy name. Then came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And therefore, the people therefore that stood by and heard it said, that it was thunder. Others said an angel spake unto him. And Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sake. For it is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Here he spoke of the cross, that if he would be lifted up on that cross, that he would draw all men unto him. And then John adds his comment here. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law, Christ abideth forever. And how saith the Son must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man?" They still didn't understand what Jesus was saying to them. And then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of the light." Jesus was that light that came into the world. Oh, that we would believe in that light that came into the world, that we may be the children of light. That we would not be those that walk in darkness and knoweth not where they go, but that we would be the children of light, as Jesus is the light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. For all the miracles that he had done, they still did not believe on him. And these miracles were to show that he was who he said he was. But they still did not believe on him. And then it quotes Isaiah, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, "Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe because of that. Isaiah saith again, "He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, and be converted, and I shall heal them." Seems hard to understand this verse here, how that Isaiah says they blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their hearts and be converted. And I should heal them. They refused to believe on him. So he blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Oh, that we would not be like them Pharisees. Be as those that, because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. They were afraid that they would be put out of the synagogue if they confessed Jesus. They love the praise of men more than praise of God. So So we thank and praise God for making that triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He could have at any time not done it. But that's the reason he came, as he said, that when his heart was, soul was troubled, and he asked the Father to save him from him. Even in the garden where he prayed that cup would be taken from him, that he would not have to drink of that cup of suffering on the cross. But he did it for us. Nobody took his life. He freely gave his life for you and I. In closing, I would just like to read the epistle text for this Sunday, which is found in 2 Philippians. It's instructions for us. 2 Philippians, beginning with the 5th verse. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.